active support. You know, wherever they play, that's where we are. And I guess for tonight, it's about being here at the pub first, because we're Australian, so pub first always. Yeah, trying to get the crowd G'd up and as excited as possible for the game ahead. And, you know, once we get to the stadium, it's all about making noise and getting behind the girls and singing with your full heart, singing loudly for as long as we can.
We are leaving! We are making our way to Central Station!
Conversation on the global game. This is World Football at the Women's World Cup from the BBC World Service.
The final whistle has gone, and the Matildas' dream of winning the World Cup has been ended by England. Hello, this is Manny Jasmine. Welcome to our latest episode. I'm standing outside Stadium Australia, and those fans you just heard there with their drums and saxophone may well be beating a more somber rhythm now. At the best of times, it's difficult to talk to fans here because they're all sprinting for the train, so I imagine it might be a bit harder to speak to Aussies this time, but let's try. Well, nothing but sarcasm and swearing from the Aussies, but here are some England fans who are very happy to talk. What did you make of that?
Oh my God, it was amazing. We dominated. Yeah, it was such a good game. The Lioness has stood us proud. It's coming home!
Woo! A lot of the English media, the British media, have been trying to stoke this up as a battle between old enemies. How have you viewed it, and how will you be treating your Aussie mates tomorrow?
I think we're all good friends. It's all in good sport, but there is an old rivalry.
We'll be gloating in work.
Yeah. It was very, very fun atmosphere tonight.
Yes, we did.
Go to the final. It's very exciting.
The final.
So exciting. It's coming home.
Very sad that Australia lost, but I think they haven't been playing any better or any worse than what they've been doing the whole tournament. So, unfortunately, England was just better.
But you saw Sam Kerr's goal. I mean, that is going to be replayed forever.
True. But I think the penalty shootout from the other game will be replayed more.
How do you reflect? I know the game's just over 10 minutes ago, but how do you reflect on this journey that the Matildas have had?
Oh, they've done very well. They have done very well. So I followed the Socceroos for a while because I've lived in the Middle East, where I've seen a lot of the Socceroos. They've done a lot of their campaigns there. But I've got to say, the Matildas have impressed me a lot more.
Because?
They seem more fiery. They go for it. It's just, not that the Socceroos don't, but it's just, I don't know, it's hard to put in words. I think also the hype all around it, that it's here and so many supporters behind them, that just rallies you up, I think.
You're living here every day, you go to work, you have your friends. Have you noticed an impact of this World Cup, of the Matildas, on the country?
Oh, definitely, yeah. A lot of people are more into football than they were before. But, I don't know how long that will last, so now that the hype of the Matildas will probably go down.
That was a cracking game. 3-1, great result. I think we looked like we were going to win from the start. Great goal by Sam Kerr, but she didn't do anything else the whole game. The girls did great. World Cup final, here we come. We're not going to get to see the final, unfortunately, but we'll be watching on the telly and supporting.
What was it like to watch England play in a World Cup semi-final?
That's awesome. What a great game, great atmosphere. Fair play to the Aussies, they gave it a great shot. The atmosphere was really, really good, lots of singing. I was sitting with the England fans. some really good singing, some good banter between the Australians and the English. So, yeah, it was a really good game, really good 90 minutes. I think everybody had a really good time, and the best team won.
And a cheeky wave to your Aussie mates tomorrow.
I've been waving at them all evening, but hello, people. It's not going to get any better. Good luck in the third and fourth place playoff.
I've come in from the cold into the media centre. Katie Smith is here. You were pitch side. What was that like?
It was actually really cold down there. I had to put a jacket on. I don't know about you.
Right. Well, I was really angling for something a bit more than that. You know, being by the side of a pitch in a World Cup semi-final. But I'm sorry it was cold for you.
No, it was truly a privilege to be there. I was sat right behind one of the goals. So I had Mary Earps guarding the territory in the first half. So I didn't see any goals that side first up. But second half, I was behind Mackenzie Arnold and I saw the two England second half goals. So one from Lauren Hemp, one from Alessia Russo, of course. And it's amazing, Manny, when you're right next to it, there's obviously something so visceral and real and aggressive about it all, and almost those slow motion moments where the ball is coming towards the net or trickling in or being palmed over, and everything's just more real, magical. And the noise, we've got to give it to the crowd tonight, over 75,000 in Stadium Australia, and you could really hear them. That was the best atmosphere that I've had all tournament. Of course,
were you able to follow the game at that level, at, you know, pitch level? How much of it could you see?
It's an odd one because you can get a really amazing sense, obviously, when they're on your side of the pitch, of facial expressions, which you just don't get, obviously, when you're up high in the stands. And the sense of power of shots and the accuracy of crosses. But of course, when they're over on the far side of the pitch, I struggled to really understand. Everyone's been saying to me afterwards when I'm speaking to them how well England defended. It was quite hard to see that from eye level, because you don't get the bird's eye view of the lines being formed and the players running back and the triangles being created. One thing I can tell you, even from where I was sat on the far end of the pitch, I could tell you Sam Kerr's strike was absolutely stunning. What a striker she is. And in some ways, I appreciate for her it won't mean anything now that Australia are out, but I felt personally happy that the poster girl of this World Cup, who's had all the question marks around her, got a goal, and it was a goal like that.
Well, at that point we thought, hang on, Sam Kerr is writing her own script, and she's continuing to do that, because it was 1-1, and it was for me, it was literally out of my seat moment, that goal.
And but I called her to be the Golden Boot winner, didn't I?
You did.
I thought, here we go.
Well, she's still got the third place playoff.
That's true.
To run riot. Sure she will. But the player of the match, of course, was Lauren Hemp, whom you did see score. And this is what she had to say afterwards in the press conference.
Oh, my God, what a feeling. I feel like there's no words to describe what we all feel right now. It's an unbelievable achievement, getting to a World Cup final. It's every kid's dream. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I've got no words. I'm absolutely knackered right now. Got a few days to recover, but then we go again, because we want to win this. Obviously, now we've got so far, why not? I feel like as a team, we've got such an inner belief. We're so confident as a group. No matter what happens on the outside, no matter who we come up against, every challenge we've managed to solve, every game we've managed to compete, we've managed to come out on top. And I feel like this team is so special. Obviously, you've seen last year how successful we were. We want to do the same again. We want to go one step further. And yeah, we've all got a dream, and I feel like we're really pushing each other to be the best that we can. And we know that whenever a player gets beat by their opponent, that there's going to be someone there again. We've got each other's backs no matter what.
What a fantastic talker Lauren Hemp is, player of the match, and full of confidence ahead of the final on Sunday. With England reaching the last four, the BBC sport department is emptied into Sydney, and we may as well use one of them and put her to good use. Emma Sanders from the BBC sport website, welcome to our podcast. I think you asked Lauren one of the questions. She was fantastic, wasn't she, both on the pitch and in the press conference afterwards?
Yeah, absolutely, she spoke really, really well. I wasn't too sure how much emotion she was going to show in the press conference, but yeah, she was absolutely delighted. She said that, you know, she had belief and a fearlessness about her at this tournament, and we certainly saw that today in her performance. I thought she was absolutely phenomenal, especially linking up with Alessia Russo. That's a partnership that's really flourished throughout the tournament, and yeah, she was brilliant in the press conference. And she says there's still more to go. This England team, they want to win. They're not done yet. And you could hear it in her voice.
What was the most impressive thing about that for you, the performance of England?
I think it was actually the control and the composure in which they dominated the game, particularly in the first half. Yes, in the second half, Australia came back into it. But we saw several sides of England throughout the match. They adapted to every scenario. You saw in the first 15 minutes, they were sort of killing any momentum. They were silencing the crowd, controlling possession. And then as soon as Australia started to get back into the game, they then went back to that sort of resilience and bats against the wall defending that we've seen the whole way through this tournament. So, yeah, just the sheer speed in which they adapted to situations, I thought, was so impressive. And even when Australia equalised, you always felt that England had something about them to go back and get another goal. And to be honest, when the full-time whistle went and England were through to the final, I wasn't surprised. This felt like an England team that should be in a World Cup final. And I can't remember the last time, really, that I felt that watching an England team.
Yeah, because the European Championships, do you think in many ways, Emma, that was the big hurdle, the big one that needed to happen? And now they come into this, having actually won something, they are playing like a team that have the knowledge and confidence of a major tournament win.
Absolutely, Katie. They're playing like a team of champions. As you say, that Euro tournament, I think, was so good for them in terms of just getting that experience of the big stage, but also having that belief within themselves that they are European champions, but they can go even better. It's not always down to world rankings, but they are the highest ranked team in the tournament, and they played like that today. And I think that's what has been so impressive, is not only do they have that belief within themselves, they're displaying it in the way that they play. They're playing with a confidence, they're playing with a flair, and they're playing like a team who want to go on and win the World Cup.
Ella Toon's a player who loves the big stage. I saw a stat. She's now the first England player, man or woman, to score in a quarterfinal, semi-final and a final of major championship football. But she had been in for a little bit of criticism leading into this match. It's the first time Serena Wiegmann stuck with the same 11. Mm. Do you think that helped Toon? That was kind of a confidence, a boost there, that, you know, the confidence from the manager?
Yeah, I think so. And also, as you say, she likes the big moments. And I think she knows that this was an opportunity for her in these two games, when Lauren James was suspended, wasn't available, that she could come in and really sort of stamp her authority on the team again. I think actually having some competition for her place has done her some good, because she hasn't really had that for a while. And then Lauren James has come onto the stage, blew everyone away and sort of taken her limelight a little bit. She's come back in and said, no, I'm the person for the big moments. I've been here before, done it before, and now I've delivered for you again. So I think it'll be really hard for Serena Wiegmann to leave her out of the side for the final now. I know, speaking to quite a few of the other journalists in this room already, we're already thinking ahead to that game. And I think a lot of us are saying, you know, it has to be the same team, because they've just looked so good.
You wouldn't bring Lauren James in then, because her suspension would be up. Mm. She is available for the final.
Personally, I wouldn't. I think, judging by the past two performances, overall as a team, I just think they've looked really good. And, you know, what a player Lauren James is to bring off the bench if you need to. But, yeah, I just think the way that Ella Toon linked up today with Russo and Hemp, that, you know, as I say, a partnership that's really evolving, it just works.
And a word on Serena Wiegmann. This will be her fourth international tournament final. So far, her record is 1-2, lost 1. What has she given to this team in the last year? Because obviously they won the Euros, and that was a lot down to her, but it's been a lot more fluctuations, haven't there, in the England setup in the last 12 months.
I just think it's that inner belief and also that togetherness that she's brought into the squad. You speak to any player that's been involved in the England setup during her 2 years in charge, and they all say the same thing. It's that she gives them the belief to go out and play with creativity, and she allows them to make decisions within the game as well. So it's not just her setting out a game plan. She is always questioning them, always wanting them to adapt to situations, and always wanting themselves on the pitch to find answers to questions. And we've seen that the whole way through the tournament. So any time that they have had to adapt, anytime there's new players coming in or there's different situations, they're so used to being flexible and they're so used to having to find the answers themselves that it's not been a problem. And I think that's something that Serena Wiegmann has given them.
Thanks very much, Emma. You'll enjoy writing your articles in the next few days, and I'm sure we'll enjoy reading them. Look out for Emma's work on the BBC Sport website. Thank you very much.
I was going to say, how busy are you going to be now?
Very busy. But you know what? We're in a World Cup final. This is the type of situation we want to be writing about, isn't it? But I just hope everyone actually likes the writing. That's the main thing.
Well, Manny's got a poker face over there.
If we invite you back on Sunday, it will be an indication.
The litmus test. There we go, Emma. Run away.
Thank you.
Well, we'll let Emma escape into the Sydney night and hopefully surface somewhere so she can continue writing those articles. What about the vanquished coach, the jolly Swede, Tony Gustafsson? This is what he had to say.
It's more than 90-minute football. They worked hard. They and the generations before worked hard to be in this moment. Obviously, it's a bit emotional to sit here and talk about that when you lose a semi-final. I hate to lose. But I've said it before, it's bigger than 90-minute football. We're very disappointed that we lost, but hopefully we won something else. We won the heart and the passion for this game in this country. But I agree with the players. This is not the end of something. This needs to be the start of something. And with that comes money as well. We promised each other to leave everything out there, and every single player did. And I think that's why the fans thanked them and supported them afterwards as well, because they see a team that leaves everything out there. Yes, we're disappointed we didn't win, but you also need to be proud of yourself when you leave everything out there, and they did. But then I said, we have no time to dwell on this. We have extremely limited time, and if we get too emotionally dragged down of this one, we have no chance in the bronze medal game. So we need to be strong now. That's what I said.
Well, back here in the media centre of the stadium, Katie and I have been joined by Alicia Carvanus, former junior Matilda, the first woman of African heritage to put on the green and gold. Are you still the only one, or have others followed you?
I think Princess Abini has recently put on the green and gold, so she hails from Nigeria, I think her background as well, so... One more following suit, which is very exciting, but step at a time. It's I like that title, actually. The first of African heritage.
You did a little fist pump there.
I'm very proud of it, because you know what? Australian immigration, I think, looking back, I would have been one of the only kids of that heritage playing football at the time. So very proud of it, and I'm looking forward to seeing the next generation start to come through as well.
Yeah, it's happened in the Socceroos already, but it's taken a bit longer than Matilda's. Fascinating talking point, but probably one for another day, because it's the end of the road for the Tillies.
I know, crushed. But do you know what? The English were so, so good tonight. The Lionesses, you can be extremely proud of your team because...
Katie.
The efficiency... How clinical they were. I was so impressed.
I think Manny's mildly offended that you've called him an Englishman there.
He's like, damn it.
Yeah, the fans outside were saying, you know, the ones who weren't swearing when we tried to stop them.
Doesn't sound like English fans.
No, it's the Aussies.
Oh.
who didn't want to chat. But the ones who did stop were saying, you know, this performance wasn't any worse than... what's come before. They just came up against a better team. Would you agree?
No, I think defensively the Matildas were a little bit ruptured tonight. Without Alana Kennedy, the cohesion was a little bit different tonight. So Hunt was outstanding for most of the tournament, but you could just see the chemistry wasn't quite there tonight with Claire Polkinghorne. So Lauren Hemp gave them a very hard time up top, and of course Alessia Russo as well. But I think the English were definitely... the more dominant of all of the opposition that the Matildas have had, the more dominant in possession. The possession is the thing that actually killed the Matildas, and also not playing through the midfield. The midfield in the first half were just not able to get involved whatsoever. Gorrie, Cooney Cross, Fowler, they all really struggled to get a hold of the ball, and that really stifled the ability to create and move forward, as the Matildas like to do out of the midfield.
It felt like there was a real... confidence in the English side, like you said, yes. In possession, but just in the tense moments, and even for me, actually, once they had the 2-1 lead, and even more so the 3-1 lead, they were relishing, I felt, that hostile crowd, and that had been a big talking point before about whether that would crush them or not.
No, and I actually think the English, again, just absorbed all of that pressure from the Australian crowd and converted it into performance. It's almost, I would go so far as saying, it was almost a bit of a dust off the shoulder from the English girls. I literally watched some of the body language and the mannerisms. They were unfazed by the Australian crowd, the boos. When Sam Kerr scored that goal, obviously the noise was phenomenal in Stadium Australia. It took them a little while to regroup. But once they did, it was business as usual. And then you saw those last two goals come through and basically finish off the match. So I think full credit to them, because that's not an easy task. 75,000. I would say 75,000 Australians, 784 English in that stadium tonight. That is, the French weren't able to do it. The Danes weren't able to do it. The Canadians definitely were not able to do it. So the English, I think, full credit tonight. Wonderful.
Let's talk about that Sam Kerr goal then, because unreal. Australia are exiting. It was her first start, yeah. And the first time we saw the real superstar that is Sam Kerr, a yeah. moment of pure magic.
Look, I played with Sam Kerr, fun fact, when she was a 15, 16-year-old kid coming through. That's a long time ago for Perth Glory. And to see where she is tonight, like to actually watch it unfold before your eyes, like you see it on TV, or to be in that presence tonight and watch what she is able to do, where she's gone from a young kid to where she is now. It's unbelievable. It's unreal. And it was just a pleasure to watch her be able to do that off the back of what's been a pretty difficult tournament for her, I'd imagine, not being able to play and contribute as she would have liked. And then to come out in the semi-final of a World Cup and score that goal, and you've got Millie Bright in front of you and Mary Earps in goal, and you just go, okay, I'll take that on. That's Sam Kerr, and I think that's what makes her brilliant.
What about those misses, though, in the last 10 minutes?
Wild. You know, and this is the pressure situation, I think, as well. When teams are under pressure, when you're chasing a game, I spoke about it with my team before the match, and I said, they sort of asked the question, what is going to be the thing that unhinges the Matildas tonight? And I said, if the Matildas have to chase the game, they haven't had to do it. If they have to chase the game, they'll find it very difficult, because they do like to lead from the start. They like to get a goal within the first 30, 40 minutes and then sit comfortably and start to build momentum. The English didn't allow that to happen tonight. And you could see the mistakes, or you could see the howlers that were happening as well, or just decisions that weren't being made like they usually would make with confidence. So definitely, I think that's where they lost the game and weren't able to creep back in.
Are England the favourites, the firm favourites for the final?
You know what? I think England now will go on and win this World Cup. I think Spain are tactically, technically brilliant and gifted. But if England play the way they played tonight, they'll win the World Cup.
What about all the rivalry that was kind of being painted onto this match? We had people telling us, you know, this is the Ashes decider because rain stopped the
we
real
thing.
We got
that as well. And I just...
Was it all too much?
I don't feel it in women's football. I don't think we've had enough matches against each other historically for there to be a true rivalry. Having said that, I think we've just started one tonight. I think this is the beginning of a new rivalry, which is nice and exciting for the sport. But I think it's just sometimes we Australians always like, everyone's our rival, right? We just like to win. We're going to find a rival in everyone. That's half the problem. And then the history, obviously, with the English and Australia. So, look, I think pre this, I wasn't too fazed about rivalry, but I think now we've got one.
You're ready for it next time.
Let's go.
4 years' time.
Exactly.
So where does this leave football in Australia? I mean, it's, you know, quite literally minutes, hours after. There's going to be time now. Is this where the work needs to start in terms of making change?
Definitely. Definitely. I've heard a lot about the legacy, and this has always been the big buzzword in and around the tournament. I don't disagree with the intention of a legacy. I think it's very, very important. But how we execute that now here in Australia, as you've all felt coming to this country, we have so many different codes of sport. Football really struggles to get a grip on the public. Right now, this is the biggest grip that we've ever had on the public that I've ever seen. And I think a lot of people will agree with that. If we're not able to turn this now into bums on seats in our domestic league, in grassroots football, in sign-on, in sponsorship, in investment, something's wrong. It's not going to be easy, But we do need to try and capitalise on it slowly but surely and start to build off of this momentum. The Matildas have quite literally given us a gift. Hosting the tournament has also been a gift for us to be able to do this, and I think it's imperative that we find a way to build this sport, because you can see how many joyous occasions it's brought this country in the last 3.5 weeks.
And are you confident that there are the right people at Football Association here to do that? Because you can't run legacies on emotion, can you, and smiles and mobile phone videos. It needs planning and strategy and investment. Do you think that there is the wherewithal to do all that?
You ask the tricky questions. I think there's room for growth in the Federation here. I make no secret about that. I think there's room for growth. I think there's room for some different minds, perhaps, as well, some more experienced minds in growing sport as well. I think the current group have done a fantastic job and in working with FIFA as well to create this tournament. The big thing we need here is, it's one thing to have our football minds, because we've all got wonderful football minds, we love this sport, but how do we bring in corporate minds, business minds, to also be able to make this a sustainable venture? And how do we combine? Because I think both of those things are not the same, if that makes sense. I think it's one thing to have the football brains, but we need the corporate brains at the table as well to be able to invest and also lift us and tell us where we need to be. Very important.
And how much significance might there be if the rumours are true and James Johnston, head of football in Australia, is going to FIFA to become the Secretary General? At this juncture, to have a new person in charge, how concerning might that be?
It doesn't concern me. I think if that's the case, it will be what it will be. If that's where James Johnston is headed, I think that maybe has been the intention for a little while to grow and progress, and good on him if that's where he ends up with FIFA. All credit to him. But what that leaves is room for the next person to come in, which I don't object to, but perhaps we need to be super selective on who that may be to support where we are at today and how we are planning to move forward as well. Where we are at today is very different to where James Johnston got the Football Federation a few years ago. It's a completely different landscape that we're now looking at after this World Cup, and whoever comes in and takes this heavy job on of CEO will need to have a strong head and a strong mind and a strong football heart.
Just rumours, of course, still. It might be someone else.
I'll put my resume in there. I'll put it on the table.
We've been very lucky to have some fantastic analysis from former Australia players, Alicia, and you've made your debut and you've been as strong as any of them. Thank you very much indeed. The Matildas official hashtag, it's till it's done. But now, sadly, it's Tilly's done. And we're done as well. We'll be back with a preview of the final. Join us for that. Goodbye.
World Football at the Women's World Cup is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.